Without Him, we can do nothing. And I realize that, and I know that. I'm thankful through Him all things are possible. I don't know if anybody ever pays a lot of attention, but I love to quote that. It gives me encouragement, and it gives me hope. I said somebody's going to have to sing. I'm going to have to sing one. You just pray for me. I'll try to sing this here. We'll get into what the Lord's laid on her heart. Get it. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, some bring on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found. Sisters, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Have that on the heart. No, we ain't much of a singer at all, but sure need your prayers tonight. I hope we've met to worship tonight. Got just a little bit on her heart. Truly, building, read over in the 133rd Psalm. I know probably everybody knows this scripture, but I truly, truly desire the help of the Lord tonight. It's one of them things. See, they wished it could have just. I don't know that a man could ever feel like he could study this out or put enough time and effort into studying some of these things, you know, in the Word of God. But the Lord says it's time to stand with it, and that's when you stand with it. But we'll try to read this just a little, and we'll go into what the Lord will have us to, and and then we'll be done. But you just pray for just a little bit. 133rd Psalm, he says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as he drew as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded, and the blessing, even life forevermore." And you know, in this scripture, and I know I've read from it before here at the church, and know we've preached from it, heard it preached, but in this, I think so much of Aaron and the priesthood that he was in, that God had set him aside to be in his day. And as you read that, you know, he said that it was good and it was pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, and that word dwell means to abide in something. And in unity, Mike, that means oneness. That means it's good to abide together in oneness. And I thought about that, how he said that it's good for brethren to do that. And when we come to the house of the Lord, that's the way we ought to be in the house of God, to see things accomplished. And you say, "Well, preacher, this is up to you. You're the pastor. That's why we've elected you. That's why what you're here for." But I want us to understand tonight that coming together and dwelling together in unity doesn't just depend on the pastor. It doesn't just depend on certain individuals in the church. But coming together to abide in oneness means that everybody here has to be in one mind and one accord, seeking the will of God and looking unto the things that we want to see accomplished in the will and the Word of God. And if you just bears with me just for a minute, there's several scriptures that come to us in this, and we want to try our best to touch on everything that God would have us to. Over in the book of 1 Peter, we want to read just a little bit in the second chapter of 1 Peter. And I'll start right there just in the beginning. Might read a whole lot tonight. Seemingly if the Lord's laid several places to read on our heart, and that's the way we're going to try to follow. But in the second chapter of the book of 1 Peter, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus." And I want to stop just a second and emphasize that fifth verse right there. As we think so much on how good and how pleasant that it is to dwell together in unity with the brethren, we think so much how that he compares it to that precious ointment that ran down across Aaron and down to the skirts of his garment and across his beard, and the anointing that was placed upon his life, Darwoody. We think so much in that of the responsibility that Aaron and his children had in that day. And we see that what God's telling us right here in 1 Peter. You look, and a lot of times we say those priests had it hard in their day. They had a lot of responsibility. And if God allows, I'll go over and I'm going to read some things here in just a little bit. But as we think on those things, Don't think that we've escaped anything that God has in our life to do in the house of God. Don't think that we're any different in the day and the hour that we live in. Say, preacher, that's the Old Testament. It is the Old Testament when man in his own flesh had to do works to please God. In his own flesh had to do the work that had to take place in the tabernacle and under the sacrifices and all the things that had to be done. But I want you to understand tonight that we've not escaped having to have some things in our life. You want to show me your faith? Show it to me by your works. There's some works that goes along with our faith today, Mike. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we were good enough to be able to gain this by works, then Christ would have never had to come. Because Aaron and his sons was able to do it all. It was able to be accomplished in that day. But through sinful man being who we are, it took the blood of Jesus Christ. But yet through that, there's still some requirements in your and my life tonight that we have to do for God. And in that right there, you read that, you know, in the first of that chapter there even, he said, wherefore laying aside. There's some things that as Christians we're to lay aside in this life. We don't run with the world. We don't be part of the world. We love the world. We love the people in it. We love their souls. But we don't love the things they love. We've got to lay aside a few things. And I know, and I told you on Sunday in the message I was going to be very plain. I'll try my best to be very plain tonight. There's a whole lot of things that we go ahead when we think of sin that we go ahead and throw a label out there in our mind. But listen to what he said right here. He said, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Right there is some things that we generally don't like to throw in there when we go to talking about sin, when we go to talking about a lot of evil things in this life. Because a lot of times we carry these things right here around with us. We won't get rid of the malice. We won't get rid of the hypocrisies. We won't get rid of a lot of these things in our life. But the Lord's telling us as Christians, we need to lay those things aside. And he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And in that right there, I thought on those things just a little bit. And we might just teach a little tonight. I don't know how the Lord will lead in this. But I thought about, you think about Aaron, before he came to the place of the priesthood. And you think about how that it said in that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Don't you realize when God laid the burden of the priesthood upon Aaron's life, don't you think for one second that he didn't get to desiring in his life, what can I do to make sure that I please God in what I'm doing? What do I do, Mike Ball, in my life to make sure that when I go in to the holiest, when I go in before God, that I'm doing everything I can to please Him? Aaron had a desire upon his life because the burden that was laid upon him. And I believe, Judy, when we get saved, I believe when God comes into our life and places the burden and say, well, preacher, I thought He lifted all our burdens. When I become a Christian, there was a burden placed upon my life for the lost. And that was a work that God entered me into. We're many members and we're in one body in this. What did I tell you in the beginning of this? It's good and it's pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity, in oneness. We're many members and we're one body here tonight. And Aaron, when he got placed into the priesthood, I believe he desired the will of God. I believe when we get saved, we desire to do the work of God. As newborn babes, desiring that sincere milk of the Word. Because Aaron, and trust me, I wish
There's some good brethren that can tell you all about the workings of the priest. And if the Lord will allow one of these days, maybe I can grasp a hold of every little old thing that was there, Darrell. There's so many things that was laid in those hands there of that man. And I believe he took it serious. Why do you think he took it so serious? Because he loved the congregation of the people of Israel. Because he was standing in a place of mediation at that time between God and man, carrying the sacrifices, having to go in before God, holy and acceptable. And as children of God, that's the way we need to gather together. Every time we meet, well, but coming in here with a seriousness upon our life and a preparation of the gospel in our life. Say, well, that was the priest's duty. That's this one's duty. That's that one's duty. Well, we have a high priest. It's already went in before the Father. But I just read to you there, and that's why I want you to really pay attention to this fifth verse here. Ye also. Now I just told you, I'm going to back up and just make sure all of this is caught here. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Listen, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There's not a one of us in here that ain't part of the priesthood. And we have got sacrifices to offer up before God that needs to be acceptable. There's not a one in here that there was no greater burden, what I'm trying to get at tonight, laid in that day upon Aaron and his sons, that's laid upon you and me here tonight. We are built up a spiritual house. He said, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, listen, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Was there any greater calling than to be part of the priesthood in that day? Those people, those men, carried the burden of the whole congregation. Their work was precious unto the well-being of the whole camp. And God didn't take it lightly, Isaac. That was a serious office that he had them set into. He chose them out of all the tribes of Israel, Darrell. Chose Aaron's people. He chose them to be the priests. And what did he say here that we was? He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now I want to back up and read just a little bit. If you can bear with me. We read to you there out of the 133rd Psalm. And I'm going to read that one more time just to where we keep it in our head. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's good and it's pleasant to dwell, to abide with the Lord in oneness. And you back up over here in the Word of God over in the book of Leviticus. And like I say, I'll read until the Lord says that I don't need to read no more. But I want us to grab a hold of this tonight. There's some things that sometimes I can't totally understand. But when we come to the house of God, do we not want the anointing of God? Is that not what was so precious in that day was when Aaron was able to receive the anointing? And that was good and that was pleasant. That anointing made him acceptable in that day. As it ran down over his garments, it brought him in to the presence of God acceptable. Do we not need to come into the house of God with the Spirit of God upon our lives? He tells us over there in the Word of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Have we not got sacrifice to offer up unto the Lord? Offer up our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. I wonder how many times have we sacrificed during the week? How many times have we sacrificed in one day of the week? Are we presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable? That's just our reasonable service. We're in a royal priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And I know we fail in the flesh. I know the flesh comes short. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're born again, child of God, your soul ain't sinned since it got saved. That inward man is just as perfect and just as pure as he was the day God saved him. That's what keeps our outward man in check. This outward man's going to want to sin. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's going to want to follow the lusts, the malice, all the different things that we need to be laying aside. There, my old carnal man wants those things. But my soul is part of the royal priesthood, chosen of God to offer up spiritual sacrifices, presenting itself, presenting as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I hope this is making sense to you tonight. We've got an obligation unto God tonight. We are part of a holy priesthood tonight. And just as much as you look and you think about those priests going in there, you know, and we talk so many times about these things, and Gina, just how, man, I just can't imagine how fearful all that was. We should be able to imagine it. How'd you come to church tonight? How do you go before your lost people? Is there a fear there?
Say, well, yeah, I'm scared of what I'm going to say. I'm scared of what... Well, I'm going to tell you something about these priests. That's why the Lord said to desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's where we learn. That's where we grow thereby. These young men were raised up and they were taught the knowledge of how to handle themselves in the house of God, in the tabernacle of God, with the things of God. By coming to church, by hearing the Word of God, by sitting down on our own somewheres with the Bible, Arlene, we grow from that. We gain a knowledge of how we handle ourselves down at the house of God. How we handle ourselves in front of our lost people. These men knew what they should do when they got inside the tabernacle of God. They knew what to do with the sacrifice. They knew what to do with the blood. Because they spent time with God at other times in their lives. That's the way we've got to come into the house of God, Darrell. We should know what the heaviness of coming into the house of God is. Say, well, I know during revivals, and this is just from personal experience. Darrell, there's many a time you sit there and you see the man of God during revival and you see the heaviness on him. You've been there, brother. You've carried that load. You've felt that weight. Is he the only man that should be feeling that during the service? We, every one, ought to carry that same heaviness. We're part of the royal priesthood. We're many members in one body. It can be a good and a pleasant place to dwell, to abide, if we come together in oneness. What is the oneness? It's carrying the weight of the office and the duty that you've been placed into. It's bearing the seriousness of what's going on down at the tabernacle, down at the house of God. It's seeing and having a vision of our people perishing and going to hell. If we let everyone get into that oneness, you get into that unity. Can we come down to the house of God? Can you just imagine the things that can take place? I can imagine. You go back over to Pentecost when they got in one mind and one accord, Darrell. The church was at it too daily. Say, well, there wasn't times like... You don't think them times was bad then. The church was persecuted probably worse than we've ever seen in our lives. And what was the church doing? It was growing. We live in an hour today when we're seeing the churches falling away. A little bit of persecution, a little bit of hard times, and people wants to quit. We're part of the royal priesthood, church. We've been chosen, Isaac. God set us in this position, because there's a congregation of people in this world dying and going to hell. You think Aaron and his sons are carrying that burden in that church? Don't you know that that wouldn't feel good when they looked out and seen the sins of the people getting atoned because that God had placed them in the position that He did? God placed us here for a reason. There's joy and it's pleasant.
You know what pleasant is? Agreeable. You know what? When we get in the Spirit of God, We get in the Spirit of God. Just bear with me. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I read from here the other day in this chapter. He said, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And we preached on the Spirit of truth Sunday. He said, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we want oneness down at the house of God, there's some things that's got to agree one with another. That's what pleasantness is. That's getting the Spirit of God. That's getting the Father. That's getting the blood. That's getting all the things that our salvation is made up of. That's getting them all in agreement one with another. In oneness in our life. There's some things that will agree. And they'll bear witness in earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not in the record that God gave of His Son. The witness of God is greater. And that priesthood over there, maybe I was reading Leviticus, I don't know. Lord, don't tell me too, I won't. In that priesthood, Darrell, when Aaron was set up there to do them things, and he took his job serious, Mike, when he followed through and his sons followed through, they had blood applied to them on their ear, their great toe, and their thumb, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right there? They had that blood applied. And you know what? When they walked in, Mike, they was a witness. They had a garment upon them that only the priests wore. They wore an ephod. They had a hat that went on their head. And they had some things, and if I don't remember the exact words, I got it wrote down. They had a Urim and a Thummim. Them was some things that was placed in to that ephod. And the one means light or lights. And the other, it means perfection. Those priests didn't look like everybody else. There was a witness about them, Mike, that everybody knew what they was. And they could tell. And you know who could tell above all? God. And when they went in before Him, and they had on the right apparel, and they had the anointing upon them, you know who that pleased? The Father. You want to have pleasure down at the house of God? Please the Father. Get in oneness in the things that bear witness of Him. And things will agree. It'll be pleasant. We want to see our people saved? Get in unity. Not just with one another. Because I'm going to tell you what. These people get in unity about things. They built them towers of Babel over there. They got in unity.
And they was accomplishing some things till the Lord come down there and confounded it. But I'm going to tell you something. If the children of God gets in unity, God won't come in here and confound these things. He will bless them. Why? Because nothing gets accomplished if He's not part of the oneness. If it's not bearing record in heaven, and it's not bearing record in earth, then there's not oneness with God. That priest, they would go in there and they had to apply that blood to the altar. They applied it. Moses would apply it to the priests. And everything was in agreement in the tabernacle of God. They separated all the inward parts. They washed everything that was supposed to be washed upon them rams, upon them bullocks. And they divided them in the manners that they were supposed to be divided. They burnt the things that were supposed to be burnt. They boiled the things that were supposed to be boiled. And they partook of the parts that they were to partake of. There's a lot of workings went on in there, wasn't there? I'm going to tell you what. There's a whole lot of workings goes on in the house of God. But you get one slack. You get one laying down. And it'll bring shame to the whole house. It'll bring trouble and the wrath of God upon the whole house. That's scary to me. Because I feel like a lot of times I've been the failure right here in the house of God. I feel like I've been the one that let down. I've been the one offering up strange incense. See, Aaron had some sons that went in there and tried to offer up some things that wasn't pure, wasn't holy, and wasn't acceptable unto God. They died right where they stood. They died in the light. We're part of the royal priesthood. And I want it to be good, and I want it to be pleasant down the house of God. But what do I need to do about it? I need to get closer to God. I need to seek the will of God. I need to dig in that book. And if each individual here wants to see our object sanctuary, then we'll take it upon ourselves as being part of this royal priesthood and in our own personal life, just like we said Sunday, we'll strive and we'll desire the sincere milk of the word. See, Aaron couldn't do a thing to stop the wrath of God coming upon his sons. They had their own minds to make up, and they chose to go in and offer up some strange things. He taught them, but he had to keep his life right. We can teach, we can frame, we've got to keep our life right. There's only one person in this house that I can do anything about. Me. There's only one person in here that you can do anything about. You. I mentioned it Sunday. It's what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We each individual have to stand before God and be accountable for what we do. Aaron's sons stood accountable that day in there for what they did. There's a lot of things that I'm fearful of in the Word of God as I read. There's a lot that stands out to me in there. And that story of Nadab and Abihu is one of them. Achan is another one. It's a fearful thing to me. Ananias and Sapphira. Reading those right there, just a few in particular that I picked that the Lord gave me. Those scare me. Every one of them was disobedient unto the will and the word of God.
They broke ranks with the camp, if you'll have it. And they decided to go their own way. Nadab and Abihu knew the office of the priesthood, but they chose to go their own way. Achan knew the orders that was sent down from God to Joshua about what to do when they went into Jericho. But he chose to go his own way. Ananias and Sapphira knew what the people of God were doing in that day. They were selling all they had. They were bringing it all together. And they were becoming as one. No one had any more than the other. It was all one unit. Unity with the people of God. But Ananias and Sapphira chose to withhold from God. If you sit in the house of God withholding from God, it will scare you to death. It's good and it's pleasant to dwell together in unity, to abide together in oneness with God. Things work better when all the many members become one body. And that's the way the Lord will bring you together. And that's the way it'll work. I already mentioned Pentecost. Every man heard in his own language. Why? How was it so plain? How could the Word of God get so plain? The church was in unity. How can our people that's walking so many different ways hear the Word of God in the Spirit of truth? The church has to get in unity. The church has to get in oneness. I'm reading and trying to study a little bit. I told you since I've been here, I want to go through the articles of faith. And we may start doing that on some Wednesday nights here at the church. The Lord's really been stirring it real heavy in it. And you go to read those declarations and then the scriptures and all those things. And it talks about, when you go to reading about the declaration over there at New Hampshire, there's some ordinances that set down for that particular, the Baptist church. And it's set down as a declaration. When you declare something, you make it clear. To make it clear what the Baptist church is established on. To make it clear that that's not to go towards the Catholic church, that's not going towards the Methodist. That's the declaration to make clear what the Baptist church believes. That's coming together in agreement, in oneness. That's what we believe. They established that. That's why they call it the New Hampshire Declaration. It was established there in that day. There was something God established down in our life when we got born again. And we became established as a child of God. And it needs to be clear to this world who we are. And if we get in oneness, then it'll be revealed to this world. They'll see what a child of God truly is. That we come out from among the world. We love them, Lee. Love them. Call sin, sin. Stand true to the Word of God. And I promise you, it'll have effect. We'll get in one mind, one accord. And it'd be amazing what God will do. It's what gets, I get excited when I can think about that. The royal priesthood of God. The chosen of God. There's no greater. There's nothing any stronger than that right there. And when that gets in oneness where it should be, there's nothing that couldn't happen. the will of God working perfectly through His children. It's amazing.
And it ought to give you an excitement about the things that can take place.
See, our people say, which said it so many times, don't look around at how bad it is. Just look around and just see how good God is. And what can take place.
As hard as they was persecuted over there,
the church grew. What's any different today? God don't change. But we do. We get lazy on our obligations down at the house of God. We get lazy in a lot of ways. I told you, I ain't even here pointing fingers at nobody but the one you're looking at tonight.
God help me, Bobby Griffin,
to get the desire in my life that I need. God help me to get the drive to uphold this royal priesthood that I'm part of.
And to come down to the house of God, dwell together in one. Abiding ones with God.
Not just that me and Darrell's good buddies and we could go hunting together, we could talk. That ain't what I'm talking about is oneness. I'm talking about the things that'll agree as one. I'm talking about the oneness of the Spirit of God.
That's what'll work. Not just having good buddies we hang out with on Sunday and Wednesday.
But gathering together as a spiritual building, a royal priesthood, and doing the work, offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God.
That's what the Lord gave me.